Adam's on the 25mm. Max, stay in the LAV. You two come with me.
Grabbing their blasters from a wall rack, the men kicked open the rear doors, fingers on triggers. Nothing stirred in the grass. Cautiously, they stepped from the wag and circled to the blockhouse. Campbell tried the metal door, but it was rusted shut. He stepped back and looked at the dish towering above them.
Need explosives to open that. Rest seems okay, though.
The framework was badly coated with rust, but still stood 10 times the height of a man into the cloudy sky. The dish itself spread above them like a slice of white ice. Experimentally, the sergeant reached out and slapped the main support girder. The steel vibrated from the soft blow, making the entire structure tremble slightly. With his heart in his throat, Campbell waited, but the quaking didn't stop. It only got worse. Soon, pieces of rust started to sprinkle to the ground as the framework began to wobble.
Oh, shit! Get back!
He sprinted for the LAV, the others right behind him. The driver of the wag stared in horror as cracks appeared along the struts, spreading like some horrible disease, the gaps widening as the metal yawned apart, braces shattered into dust. Frantically, he started the engine and threw the APC into reverse, slamming on the gas pedal. The vehicle spun all 8 tires in the damp grass. Then they reached dirt and the wag lurched backward, racing away from the falling dish. Campbell grunted a curse and headed for the nearby trees. Those would offer some protection, if only they got there soon enough. Then the air driven before the falling dish slapped the men off their feet and threw them at the woods like broken toys. The segment inside the LAV cried out as the wag slammed into a tree, coming to an abrupt halt. Struggling with the stalled engines, the driver could only watch as the weakening supports broke completely apart and the huge dish fell from the sky, its shadow falling over the APC like a shroud. A man screamed, another covered his head with his arms, and the dish thunderously slammed into the ground only inches from the vehicle, a strut scraping the wag's armored prow. The pre-dark material crumbled into a compact pile of debris, spewing a cloud of dust and pulverized plastic. More pieces fell, a few bounced off the wag with loud bangs, and the crushing noise continued for minutes. Chunks of the dish fell to the ground, only to break apart again and start the whole process over, but on a smaller scale. Only the cracking and shattering of the plastic and the groan of the twisting metal could be heard. Nothing was visible within the roiling dust cloud. 15 minutes passed before the noise of the destruction reached a level low enough for the men to shout at one another, and finally the weak breeze blew away enough of the dust to make it possible to see again. Rising from a bush, Campbell glared at the mountain of plastic debris piled high before the LAV. He wanted to be furious, but the driver had done the correct thing. If he had stayed, the LAV might have been buried under that crap forever. He walked closer to the destruction, surveying the unlimited wreckage. There was nothing left of the pre-dark dish, except for twisted scraps of plastic and lumps of rusted metal. Turning, the sergeant looked for his men and saw their still forms sprawled on the ground. One was at the base of a tree, his blood and guts spread along the track like jam. The other lay pinned in place with a long shaft of white plastic shoved through his body. Fuck. 4 men down, and this only their first stop.
Okay, you asshole, start digging. We got a long ways to go if we want to reach the next dish by sundown.
Grumbling unhappily, the weary SEC men started to climb out of the turret of the wag and began the odious task of clearing a path through the debris. Stepping out of the way of the crumbling plaster, Ryan and the others looked across the chasm along the shattered remains of the granite bridge. The explosion had sealed the cave on the other side completely.
No way we're jumping that.
Keeping a hand on the wall for support, Mildred peered into the depths below. She tilted her head to listen.
Not even a splash or a crash. How deep is that hole?
Doesn't matter.
Ryan flicked a butane lighter and studied the cave around them. Only it wasn't a cave, but another tunnel identical to the one leading from the redoubt. The same smooth floor, arched walls, concrete braces supporting the ceiling, bare metal hoops for wiring not installed. Going to the edge, Jack lifted the loaded crossbow from the floor and made sure the wooden arrow was firmly in place. This was their last weapon. Doc sheathed his sword, locking the blade with a twist.
Maybe the bridge was also part of this tunnel, but a subterranean earthquake collapsed the area, and only the reinforced floor of the tunnel remained.
Lifting a piece of plaster from the floor, JB inspected it closely. It was plain white on one side, and painted to resemble rock on the other. Triple strange.
But why would anybody hide this tunnel?
Escape route? Or no want ruts to find?
Taking the torch from his belt, Ryan lit the oily rags and started forward.
Only one way to find out.
There was no silvery moss on the tunnel walls, the darkness seeming to swallow the crackling light of the two torches. The drilled shaft echoed their steps as the companions walked along. Reaching an intersection, Ryan held out his torch to try to see down the side passages. The right ended in a rockfall, slabs of granite sealing the tunnel completely. But the left side went on for a distance. Faint noise could be heard in the tunnel, voices, and some sort of dragging, moist sound. Frowning, Ryan covered his mouth and jerked a hand toward the main tunnel. Once they reached it, he walked away from the side tunnel a few yards before speaking.
That sounded like the runts.
Good news, bad news.
JB tilted back his fedora.
What the hell is the good news?
If they got here, then there's a way back to the main cavern. We're not cut off.
Do here.
Jack offered the crossbow to the woman. Mildred took the weapon, and the teenager gestured, a knife sliding into each hand.
Never know what hit.
Not here. There's no cover. We need some place to ambush the muties. Can't go back to the bridge. The other side branch is blocked.
He turned and headed farther along the tunnel.
We keep going. Any ammo left?
Not a single round.
Everybody got a knife?
I dare say yes, my dear Ryan.
Doc slid his sword free once more. The tunnel continued for hundreds of yards, with the noise from the runs becoming fainter until it was lost completely. But the companions kept going. Just because they couldn't hear the runs didn't mean the little muties weren't still after them. Suddenly, Ryan raised a hand for a halt. A faint blue star shone straight ahead of them. They waited a few minutes, but the light didn't move or alter in any way. Ryan waved a hand forward, and as the companions cautiously advanced, the star became a beam of bluish light piercing the darkness. The companions kept to the side of the tunnel to offer as small a target for snipers as possible. Ryan squinted against the smoky flames of the torch.
That's not daylight.
More like a halogen light.
Mildred shifted her grip on the crossbow.
Down here?
JB shrugged.
That's what it looks like.
Ryan dropped the torch and ground out the flames.
Could be. We crawl from here. Maybe this is the way to the surface.
Ash don't okay by me. At least can run if need.
Extinguishing the second torch, the companions went on the floor and crept toward the strange illumination until the light filled the tunnel brightly. Knowing they were in plain sight, they waited for an attack or any response, but only silence greeted their presence. Slowly, Ryan stood and walked into the light until he could see the front end of some sort of machine. It was a truck with a broken grill. Its left headlight was smashed, but the right blazed. Large rocks were strewed across the floor, slabs of stone stacked behind the wag, as if it had been caught in an avalanche. His palm tight on the handle of his knife, Ryan edged past the chunks of limestone. Glancing into the cab, he saw two corpses dressed in blue uniforms slumped against the dashboard. Their heads were split open, slivers of windshield protruding from their slack faces. Sheathing the blade, Ryan whistled twice, and the rest of the companions rushed forward to join him at the wreck.
Dark night. How did this get all the way down here?
Quake?
Jack ran a hand over the machine as if unsure it was actually there. The metal was cold under his touch.
Been here a while.
Can't have been here for very long. The headlight is still working. No, that's wrong. The nuke battery could power the bulb until it burned out. Might have been here for weeks, months.
Reaching in through the broken window, Ryan pulled a sandwich off the top of the dashboard. He squeezed the bread, and it crunched slightly.
Only been a couple of weeks.
He sniffed the food. Smelled like peanut butter. Definitely pre-dark supplies. He took a bite, chewed, and swallowed.
Days.
He broke the sandwich into pieces and passed the morsels around. Everybody wolfed his or her portion and started to loot the vehicle. Pulling open the door to the truck, Ryan grabbed the body of the blue shirt as it fell out sideways. The corpse had a blaster in its belt, and an AK-47 rested on the floor. Ryan tossed the hand cannon and gun belt to JB and appropriated the Kalashnikov.